the one that raised Elijah to David, that's the 12th hour apostolic time of time, John Gibbs, and now it's time for 12th hour of your testing. Today is July 9, 2017, hour is the 16th day of the 4th minute of month 2021. We'll start with our first service today with a song entitled, Tell Me the Story of Yahshua. Tell me the story of Yahshua, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to Yah in the highest, send your tidings to her. Tell me the story of Yahshua, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the curse that applied, how for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore, was despised and afflicted, homeless, dejected, and poor. Tell me the story of Yahshua, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell of the cross where they nailed him, writhing in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him, tell how he liveth again. Love in the story so tender, fairer than ever I see. Stay, let me weep while you whisper, Lord, take the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Yahshua, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Okay, we're going to start our service today. We have a new topic, Obedience Brings Rewards. Okay, so let's start with Romans chapter 1. The word obedience occurs 12 times and it's only in the New Testament. In the King JV, Romans 1:5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience unto the faith among all nations for his name. Now, let's crank it up and read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 1. I love the book of Romans. I love all the books of the Bible, but I love Paul's dissertation with the Roman Gentiles, and we'll go with verse 1. It says that Paul, a servant of Yahshua Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Yahweh, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Yahshua, Yahshua our Messiah, which was made of the seed of David according unto the flesh. Now, this is very important, because we can determine also if we are made of the seed of David by the Spirit leading us and guiding us and teaching us, showing from the Scriptures how we can prove that we are of the seed of David, and that is by the obedience unto all the truth that is revealed unto us, obedience to all his commandments, all his statutes, precepts, ordinances, laws, everything that pertains to a law that applies to our salvation is to be understood and obeyed. Verse 4, Romans chapter 1. And declared to be the Son of Yahweh with the power according unto the Spirit of the holiness by the resurrection from the dead. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience unto the faith among all nations for his name. And what is his name? Paul is talking about Yahshua now, the Son. He said so in verse 3, concerning his Son, Yahshua, our Savior, the Messiah, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of Yahweh with power. Now this is who we're dealing with today. We're dealing with the Son of Yahweh with power. He has the power. This is what we need. Alright. Verse 6. Among whom are ye also the called of Yahshua Messiah. So if you accept Yahshua, if you be of the seed of David, you can also be of the seed of Yahshua, and you can belong to him, because he says right there in Galatians 3:29, he said, if you be Yahshua, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according unto the promise. And now we go and read once again Romans 1, continue with verse 7. Unto all that be in Rome, beloved of the Yahweh, called to be saints, grace unto you, and peace from Yahweh our Father, and the Savior Yahshua Messiah. Now, Paul is talking to some new Gentile converts. Now, keep in mind, these Gentiles are kinfolks. They also can very well be of the descendants of David. But they are Hebrew Israelites, but they're second ranked Hebrew Israelites. That is, that the descendants of Jacob through the two bondwomen that were the servants to Jacob's two daughters, Leah and Rachel, these two bondmaids, they were of another nationality. They were, I believe, Egyptian. And so that's where the Gentile nations, that's where they were born from. They had four sons, these two bondwomen. And that's where your Gentile nations come from. But they had a Hebrew father making them a bloodline, the descendants of the Hebrews. All right, in Romans 1:8 it says, first I thank my Father through Yahshua Messiah for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. But Yahweh is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit. Now I'm going to put another word in there. With that word with, I'm going to put within. That's a compound preposition. For Yahweh is my witness, whom I serve within my spirit. In the gospel of his Son. Let's do that again. For the Yahweh is my witness, whom I serve within my spirit. In the blood of his Son. In the knowledge and the assimilation and the acceptance of the blood of the Son that covers and sanctifies us from our sins. This is what Paul is talking about. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. So Paul put together here two words, without, which is a compound preposition. Making request if by any means, and now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of Yahweh to come unto you. Well, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, unto the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I proposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am indebted both unto the Greeks and unto the barbarians, both unto the wise and unto the unwise. So as much as in me as I am ready to preach the gospel, and I'll put good news, of the plan of the salvation through the blood of the Yeshua, of the everlasting covenant, unto you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, good news, plan of the salvation through the new and living way, through the blood of the Yeshua, for it is the power of the Yahweh unto the salvation unto everyone that believeth, unto the Jew first and also unto the Greek. Your key word, folks, is the word power also. For this teaching of the new and living way through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua is the power unto salvation. It's the power of Yahweh unto salvation. For therein is the righteousness of Yahweh revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by his faith, their faith. The just shall live by their faith in the blood of the new and living way, the law of the Spirit of life in Yahshua, through the new and living way hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Yahweh's wrath against sin. Yahweh's wrath against sin. Verse 18 of Romans 1. For the wrath of Yahweh is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in the unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of Yahweh is manifest in them, for the Yahweh has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even unto his eternal power and Godhead. Now I added that compound preposition, unto. It was left out of here, but it is a strong word to place greater emphasis on what we're talking about. Even unto his eternal power, and it says Godhead, and you know that God is a pagan title for Baal, and it's a pagan title also for Lucifer, Satan, the god of this world. But the translators put it in here, and for the sake of giving brevity to this, understanding to the hearer, we use that word, but you can also put Yahwehhead in the place of God. Godhead is a compound noun, two words together, and it just simply means that Yahweh is the head of all principalities and powers. So I made the statement that he's head of all principalities and powers. And so in Romans 8:38 he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of the Yahweh, which is in the Yahshua Messiah, our Savior." Folks, when you learn and you develop a great fear and learn that obedience unto all of Yahweh's commandments and His Son Yahshua, then this is how you rise above all principalities and powers. Things that are present, things to come. You can meet it all. Okay, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to read that verse 20 once again. "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." What's one of the invisible things of Him? The Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the most prominent and the most powerful entity, and it's invisible. But we feel His presence. We couldn't live without it. Okay, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." And how did Yahweh make everything? By the power of the Spirit. Even unto His eternal power. So we can understand everything we need to understand for salvation, even unto His eternal power and Godhead. Okay, so Yahweh is, so now we go read Ephesians chapter 4. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Yahshua, the Son, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in the love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of the peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in the one hope of your calling." So these Gentiles, they only had one hope. And that hope was channeled through the apostles unto the Gentiles of the world. They were the ones that contained that hope, because they had come through the purification by their obedience unto all the commandments that Yahshua commanded them, when he called them to be his disciples. One of them decided that he couldn't do it, and that was Judas Iscariot, and Yeshua got rid of him on the night of the Last Supper. Okay, in order to purify the other 11, he had to get rid of Judas Iscariot, because he brought defilement, and he was a defiler of the camp. So in Ephesians 4, verse 5, it says, one Yeshua, one faith. In other words, one plan of salvation through the new and living ways through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yeshua. That's the one faith that they were taught. Because you only got one plan of salvation. And so, that one faith, that says it all. One Yahweh and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So there's your key verse right there, verse 6, Ephesians 4. Yahweh is the top. He's the alone. He sit alone at the top of the universe, and on his throne, he says in Isaiah and other places, there is none beside me. I know not any other deity but me. He said, I'm the only one. There's nobody beside me. There hadn't been before, and there shall never be after. So he's the Yahweh and Father of all, who is above all. So there you have it right there. He's on top of the of that pyramid, so to speak. He's at the very top of it, the pinnacle of it. And through all and in you all, but unto every one of us is given grace according unto the measure of the gift of the Yeshua. But unto every one of us is given grace. Now, what does that mean, is given grace? We're given our specific talent. If only we just have one. But we are given at least one talent, everyone, that are preordained of the seed of David, of the seed of Yeshua, of the seed of the 12 tribes of Israel. You at least have one gift. You have one talent, according to the measure of the gift of Yeshua. So, now Yeshua's gift of Yeshua. Now I'll say this. Gift of Yeshua means that he has many gifts to give to his followers. And when you say gift of the Yeshua, then that article "the" makes it personal, specific. That means he has an individual gift for each individual that accepts him and his blood to cover their sin. He redeems them. He forgives them. And their gift that they were born with, their talent that they was born with, then it is activated and goes into operation. So, don't try to perform somebody else's gift. If you were called to be a teacher, then accept that and stay in that category. Whatever you were called, whatever talents you have, use it. I was the other day out mowing grass, and I was looking at the property there, and I said, well, you know, I could build a garage here, and I could put in a paint and body shop, and I could put in an air conditioning shop for cars, and I could just generate plenty of income from this kingdom. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, your talent is your calling. Says, I've given you multiple talents. He said, you're to use those to promote the kingdom. And so I said, thank you, Heavenly Father. And I put that idea out of my mind, about trying to build a shop and create a new business so I can have income, you know, for the kingdom and for our livelihood and everything else. He says, your talent is your calling. Okay, so he says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens. Above all heavens, okay. Well, we know we have at least 12 heavens in our solar system, because we have 12 planets, and the earth is one of the 12. Matter of fact, it's the first one. There are 11 other planets that are represented by the 12 sons of Jacob. Okay. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. There you have it right there. He gave some apostles, some prophets, see? You got to have prophets among you. You got to have at least one prophet among you. You don't have the true congregation of Israel. Okay. And then he says, some evangelists, some that got the gift of evangelism. I was at a meeting of seven different congregations one day. They met at kind of a little camp meeting thing on a weekend. And they asked if after seven people got through speaking for a little bit, they asked if there's anybody else there that wanted to speak. I raised my hand and I came forward and I spoke for 22 minutes. And when I got through, I got a lot of people come up to me and say, you are an evangelist. Says, you are definitely an evangelist. So that's how some of them were impressed. Some people come to me and say, well, you're Elijah the prophet. I had one or two of those. And I had other people say, well, you're a prophet. None of them accepted me, but that was their comment. So I got the comment that I was a prophet, that I was an evangelist, and I was definitely, I had someone tell me, said, you are a teacher. You are definitely a minister of the word. I had them just really complimenting me there. And because that's how the sermon that I preached, the little sermon there, 22 minutes, that's how it impressed them. Verse 12, for the perfection of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Yahshua, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of Yahweh unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Yahshua. Now this is a key verse, and we'll read that Ephesians 4:13 again. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. That word faith, you can take that word faith and you can say the same thing as the believing in the plan of the salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. That covers it all. And of the knowledge of the Son of the Yahweh, the Father. Now you have to come to a complete knowledge of the Son of Yahweh, unto a perfect man, unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of the Yahshua. Okay, so this is what we are called to be. Come, we have to finally arrive at this perfection. And when you do that, folks, you'll have your name placed on the Lamb's Book of Life. And you'll have a guarantee of eternal life. Okay, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, that speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Yeshua, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supply, according unto the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Putting on the new man, verse 17, Ephesians chapter 4. Now this I say therefore, and testify in the Yeshua, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Well, we have a brother and a sister that left us here a couple of years back, or better. And they come here and worship with us for a couple of years. The brother, Alan, had long been worshiping with us for at least 30 years after that point. And now they have gone off and rejected this truth, and they're walking in the vanity of their mind. And it's a vanity, folks. It's a delusion if there ever was. That's what happens when people say, no, this is not it after all. This is not the truth. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of the Yahweh through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness, but ye have not so learned the Yeshua. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in the Yeshua, the Messiah, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Folks, we've all got to come upon this. I don't care how advanced you are in the knowledge and the wisdom and understanding and obedience unto all his commandments, I don't care. That you're going to have to, we all have to work on this. Nobody is exempt from this. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after Yahweh is created in the righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, be angry and sin not. Now, Paul is saying, be angry for what? And against what? Be angry against every false way. That's what it says right there in Psalm 119, verse 104 and verse 128. That I hate every false way. Be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now to give place unto the devil, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hand the thing which is good, and that he may have to give unto him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good unto the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of Yahweh, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be you kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as Yahweh for for Yahshua's sake has forgiven you. Let's go to Romans now, back to Romans 1, verse 26. For this cause Yahweh gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, Yahweh gave them over unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of Yahweh, despiteful, proud, boasting, inventors of evil things, disobedient unto parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of Yahweh, that they which commit such things are worthy of the death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Okay, that ends chapter 1 of Romans. Now let's go to Romans chapter 5 for our next rendering on the word obedience. We're going to read the whole chapter. Therefore, being justified by the faith, we have peace with Yahweh through our Savior Yahshua the Messiah. Now what did we just read there? Therefore, being justified by the faith in the plan of the salvation through the new and living way by the blood of the sprinkling of Yahshua, we have peace with the Father through our Savior Yahshua the Messiah. That's the only way you can have this peace, folks. By whom also we have access by the faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Father. And not only so, but we glory in the tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Yahweh is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. But when we were yet without strength, in the due time Yahshua died for the unrighteous. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But Yahweh commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Yahshua died for us. Now Paul is talking about those Gentiles before the cross. He's talking about himself being a Jew and rebellion against the apostles, and Yahshua openly rebellion, leading insurrection against the apostles and the saints that were joining them, and hating them, many of them, into court and into death. Paul was there witnessing Stephen's stoning. And so now Paul is converted now, 3.5 years later, and he's talking to these Gentile Romans, and he's saying, for Yahweh commended his love toward us. And then Paul says, toward us? Paul is a Jew, and he's talking to these Roman Gentiles. And yet he's inclusive in this conversation. In other words, when you accept the truth and come into the kingdom, then we are all one body. That's what Paul is saying. That while we were yet sinners, remember that, yet sinners, we're no longer sinners now, because we've accepted and been justified by the faith in the blood of Yahshua. You have all accepted, so we're no longer classified as sinners. Yahshua died for us while we were yet sinners, not while we were righteous, because there's no way we could be righteous. That's the only way he could die for anybody. They'd all have to be sinners. The only one that he sanctified and ratified their record was those that had died from Adam down to the cross in the faith of the plan of salvation of the blood of the everlasting covenant that Moses taught, of the animal sacrifice. It was portrayed and exemplified through the animal sacrifice, the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant of the Yahshua. Was exemplified and demonstrated through the blood of the animal. Alright, it says, verse 9, but more than being now justified by his blood, okay, justified, also you can also now put the word sanctified. Justified, sanctified, purified. You can put those words together. They're all synonyms of one another. We shall be saved from wrath through him. So follow the plan of salvation through the new and living way, Hebrews 10:20. By the blood of strengthening, Hebrews 12:22-24. 1 Peter 1:1-2. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled unto the Father by the death of his Son. So now Paul said, for if, when, this is all past tense, we were enemies, he said, boy, when we were fighting against the apostles and the saints that had joined the apostles, that were the followers of Yahshua, the one that he had personally chosen to represent the kingdom that he set up with the apostles. Well, he said, when we were fighting against all of that, we were enemies. He says, that's when we were doing that, but we were reconciling to Yahweh by the death of his Son. He said, but we were enemies before his death, but when we accepted him after he resurrected, and we accepted that he was indeed the true Messiah, and that he had died for the sins of the whole world, for those that accept his blood. So when he resurrected, he said, you all accepted him. It says so right there in Acts 2:3, there, when y'all were confronted with helping the Jews, the Pharisees, to hang him on the cross. Said, y'all accepted that revelation that they told you on that day, that y'all are guilty of the blood of Yahshua, and so you repented of it, and like you were told to do, and now you're reconciled unto Yahweh by the death of his Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join the Yahweh through our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, by whom we have all now received the atonement. So Paul is saying, you know, when he resurrected and went back to heaven 10 days before the Pentecost, then he had to wait until the seventh month for the atonement to appear before the Father in front of him to present our records before the Father. And so he does this every year. He goes before the Father on the Day of Atonement, on the 10th day of the seventh month every year. And for everybody that past year that has accepted him and become converted unto the gospel of the kingdom, the new and living ways of the blood of strengthening by the blood of the Yahshua, and he says he presents their case every year on the Day of Atonement before the Father. So that was the judgment of the living going on in Paul's day. Paul was going through the judgment of the living. Paul and all those he was converting to the truth, they were in the judgment of the living, so they was being judged on a day-by-day basis. And Paul definitely kept the feast days. He taught that. And all of the, everybody, because the feast days were in vogue. They didn't cease at the cross. The feast days has always been from the Garden of Eden, from the time that Adam and Eve sinned, on the very day that they sinned, the feast days were put in operation. And they've been in vogue ever since. Alright. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world. The sin is not imputed, but there is no law. What is Paul talking about here? What is he talking about? He's talking about this law in Galatians 3:19 that he was talking to the Galatian Gentiles when he asked them the question, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions of what? The laws of the sacrificial system of the sanctuary. After Adam and Eve sinned, that had to be put into operation. So the seed should come unto whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. So when did the seed come? It came at the cross. Well, is that seed going to come back? That seed was Yeshua. It came at the cross, reconciled the world unto the Father, those that would accept the truth and accept His Son and the plan of salvation to the new and living way by the blood of sprinkling. That was the seed. Yeshua represented that seed. Well, now, that was His first coming. Now, they said He's coming back again. Okay. And so now, if He's coming back again, then we have to continue serving that law until He comes back a second time. For those in the new covenant. Okay, Hebrews chapter 9. Let's go and read that. Let's read verse 26 through 28. For then must we, he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now that took place at the end of the old world 2,000 years ago, when Yeshua died on the cross. Verse 27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Yahshua was once offered, past tense, was once offered to bear the sins of many. Everybody didn't accept Him at the cross, and after He resurrected, everybody didn't accept Him, but those that did, they were justified by His blood. And reconciled unto the Father. Not all of them did, but those that did. And unto him, them shall, I see. So Yahshua was once offered to bear for the bearing of the sins of many, of the many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without the sin unto the salvation. So you see that second time? Okay, when that seed comes the second time, because of their obedience to the law that's added because of transgression, there's going to be transgressions clear up to the second coming. And because He's going to punish the transgressors when He comes, and He's going to destroy them, and He's going to save those that are obedient unto all of His commandments. It says in Romans 5, verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world. Okay. What does it mean? Sin was in the world until the law. The law was given before the creation of this world. What law are we talking about? The law that governed the universe was in place before this earth was even created. But what about the law of sin? There was no law of sin until after sin. No, there was a law of sin, yes. There was a law of sin also. But it wasn't activated until sin came into the world, and then it was activated. Just read to you in Galatians 3:19. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression. Alright. So it says, For until the law of the sanctuary of the sacrificial system, sin was in the world. So, sin came in the world in the Garden of Eden one day. Adam and Eve had sinned, and they had enough time after they sinned in the garden to realize that they had lost their covering. Their spiritual life in heaven was their clothing. They realized that that was taken from them. They realized that they had fallen into sin. And when that happened, they went and took some fig leaves and they sewed them together to cover their nakedness. And so they had enough time to probably several hours, no doubt. So when it came time for the evening sacrifice, Yahweh the Father appeared to them in the Garden of Eden. And he confronted them about their disobedience. And they acknowledged it. They acknowledged it. So Yahweh in his mercy had them driven out of the garden. At what hour were they driven out of the garden? What hour? What hour was that? It was the ninth hour of the day, in the evening. Afternoon. It was the sacred hour of the day for worship. When did Adam and Eve sin in the garden? They sinned at the end of the third parabolic hour in the garden. So how long were they in the garden before they were driven out, living in sin in the garden? They were in the garden 6 hours. They were in the garden 6 hours. So, and the reason why they had to be driven out at the ninth hour, because that was the hour of worship for sinners. Once you become a sinner, then the law of the sanctuary kicks in. Galatians 3:19. Now you got to start serving the law. Instead of being obedient 100% to Yahweh the Father and living in the freedom of the Spirit, you're now under the law. You're under the law. Law has jurisdiction over you now. The law of sin. The law of sin has jurisdiction over you. So the only way that you can reconcile and rectify that is you have to be born again, repent, and then you've got to go outside the Garden of Eden at the beginning of the second sacred hour of the day, which is the ninth hour of the day. You've got to bring an animal sacrifice and offer it, and Adam and Eve had to have a lamb. Yeshua, the high priest, or Yahweh the Father slew their first two lambs because he skinned them and he took the skin and made clothing for them and covered their nakedness with the sheepskin. And then they had to take the blood of that sheep and it had to be offered for their sins. And they could come to the east gate of the Garden of Eden to make their offering, because the Garden of Eden then became the home for the sanctuary that came down from heaven and set up in the Garden of Eden. That's where Adam and Eve brought their sacrifices. And that's what sanctified the Garden of Eden, was purging Adam and Eve out of the garden, and then the high priest made an atonement for their sins in the sanctuary inside of the garden, and that's what purified the Garden of Eden again. Because it was defiled by Adam and Eve's sinning in the Garden of Eden. It was defiled. So it's the blood of the sacrifice that was provided for that very situation that sanctified and cleansed the sanctuary that was inside the Garden of Eden. Okay. Well, we're getting along close to the end of our study this hour. Let's go now to Romans 5, verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned as the similitude of the Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be made to be dead, much more the grace of Yahweh and the gift by the grace, which is by the one man, Yahshua Messiah, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one under condemnation. But the gift, the free gift, is of many offenses unto justification. What's the free gift? The blood that will take and cover all your sins and all your offenses. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that was Adam's offense, much more they which receive abundance of the grace and of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in the life by one Yahshua Messiah. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men unto condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. For as by the one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of the one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto the eternal life of Yahshua Messiah, our Savior. This brings in our study this hour, contest at the 11th hour call. That's number 11, click on our audio archive. We're going to close now with a song. Pretty White City.
There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is Yah. I'm sorry descending from heaven when that person exiled he drawn. His highnessy waters of jasper, the city itself is pure gold. But when my throat head is folded, now I shall its glory behold. In their bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, the heart, and the crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for the white city, and so coming down. No sin is allowed in that city, and nothing defiling nor mean. No pain and no sickness can't enter, no crape on the doorknob is seen. Her sorrows and cares are forgotten, no tempter is there to hurt none. No party words ever are spoken, there's nothing to hurt and annoy. In the bright city, very white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for the white city, my soul coming down. No heartaches are not in that city. Now to set the marching behind. There's no disappointment in heaven. No empty hand strike in the sky. The saints are all sanctified holy. They live in sweet harmony there. My heart is now set on that city. And someday's blessings I'll share. In that bright city, bright city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I'm watching, waiting, and longing on the white city. All coming down. My loved ones are gathering yonder. My friends too are passing away. And soon I shall join the bright number and dwell in eternity's day. We're safe now in glory with Yeshua. Her trials and battles are past. They overcome sin and the tempter. They've reset their city at last. In that bright city, there is life. City, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing on the white city, and so coming down.